friends, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm Hardy White, and you may know that, but I'm reminding myself. I have to do that every once in a while. I'm Hardy White, and I'm sitting in a chair, because I get around a lot, you know, in space and time, and I don't always know where I am, just instinctively. But this is where I am. I'm speaking to you. I hope to be fully present when I'm with you, and not constantly distracted. But I think that's what thinking is. It's just constant distraction. So I'm going to take back that promise. I hope you're okay with that. Oh, I love to visit. And I get a lot of mail. And I swallow like that when it's a lie. Play along, will you? I get a lot of mail and it says, Hardy, you should have more clip shows. What's a clip show? Well, that's when mostly sitcoms or TV shows don't do a new episode. They say, do you remember when we, and then they play some tape of the last, bunch of episodes from that year or something. So it's a show that's assembled out of clips of past shows, like the new Matrix movie. And so what I thought, well, I should do that. And the very first clip show, now I might be misinformed, but now you will be. Isn't that lovely? It's like when you're intimate with somebody, it's like, now I have what you have. You have what I have. So here's my misinformation, perhaps. But I was led to believe that the very first television clip show was an I Love Lucy Christmas episode. And why haven't I seen that, Hardy? Well, it didn't make syndication because it's a Christmas episode, because syndicated sitcom episodes run sort of randomly. So a Christmas episode could have played in April. And then they said, well, that doesn't seem appropriate exactly. So they never syndicated it, so nobody's ever seen it, but it was a clip show. So it's like, oh, it had a thing going on, but then within that, they flashed, do you remember when we... for individuals, you can do that too. Say, remember when I was focused and sober or something like that, and you can go back and play a bit of an old show. Now, I haven't had a lot of clips. I keep saying for about 5 years, I said, I've never done one. But that's because I didn't have enough stuff. Now that I have enough stuff, I've done several. And forgive me if you've heard things multiple times, but I stumbled upon some stuff I don't remember playing more than once that took an inordinate amount of planning. Let's say, so you know, I wanted to share them again with you for the holiday as we go into this new year. Now, there's no guarantee that there'll be a new year. I didn't mean to imply that, but it looks like it's on its way. So let's go back in time, because a time machine has been a part of this show, not quite since the beginning, but almost. Since Lou and Butchie showed up, I think I've had a time machine. So this one is from the year 2014. So those 2 years, and one of them's dated because I mentioned political figures simply as names, and people said, Hardy, I didn't think you were political. And if you listen to the whole thing, it's absolutely absurd, because I think I also mentioned Lincoln and who else did it? Rutherford Hayes or somebody, one of them. All right, well, this one's about being on a train. I think I had just come back from a train ride up to in Indiana, in Salt Lick, Indiana, perhaps. And they had a historic train. I've been on several. Some of them pretend that there's Civil War reenactors robbing you. Those aren't my favorite. But this one was just a quiet ride through the woods. And then you go, and you go, so, oh, it's Larry Bird's house. You see Larry Bird's childhood home. And then you come back. So that's what this one is, must have been the inspiration. And I believe I also went to a circus museum thereabouts and saw an original Red Skelton painting. I always want to say Art Linkletter. I don't know why I get this confused. One of them pretended to be a seagull that had been hit in the head or something. That's Red Skelton, right? And he painted clowns. And he considered himself a clown. And we do too. So that's good. That all, when all that stuff, you know, crosses like that. And that must have been the inspiration for this particular scenario.
You are currently riding on the only railroad that runs between Chalk Lick and Other Brother, Indiana. Though at one time, these rails saw over 2,000 different rail lines running routes from Romington to Stayville, bringing salt, detergent, and baking powder to all parts of Indiana and Illinois. As of 5 years ago, though, this train you're riding on is the only one still running. Coming up is the shortest railroad tunnel in Indiana. Or should I say, that was the shortest railroad tunnel in Indiana. If you blink, you missed it. Rather than run the railroad tracks over Super Short Mountain, the men who built this railroad decided to go through it. Problem was, Super Short Mountain wasn't a mountain at all, but a sarcastically named bulge in the earth.
You guys need snacks? I'm going to the snack car.
Get me a bourbon.
They don't have bourbon.
Okay, a cream soda.
Dude.
Mineral water, non-gaseous. All right, just water. I'm good.
Up on your right, you'll notice the most unusual house in the county. Though not the largest house, you won't believe what I'm about to say. That house, as small as it appears, has 10 kitchens. That's right, 10 kitchens. Ma and Pa kitchen, and their 8 children.
That's 10. That means they don't have an actual kitchen.
Man, that's poor. They should have one more kid so that they have a proper place to cook.
The scenic railroad line is staffed by an all-volunteer corps of living and dead railroad workers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the folks working this train are ghosts. But don't you worry. They have the most experience, and without bodies, they don't run the risk of being crushed between railroad cars. A legitimate concern. The town of Chalk Lick, some say, has a very unusual name. The place was originally known as Lick until the arrival of settlers. The settlers had schoolhouses, and in those schoolhouses were teachers. Now, every day, those teachers would come to school and teach children who came there to learn. Often, when they needed to write something down, like a letter or a number, that teacher would use a slate. And to write on that slate, he'd use a piece of chalk. Hence, Chalk Lick. In 1918, there was a tragedy on these very tracks. The Moganoffa Lemon Dragglecrop Circus train was leaving the town of Chalk Lick for an appearance in Chicago. Every elephant, every lion, every horse and clown, every dancer, every poodle act lady, every crewman, every child of every crewman was asleep in their kerosene-lit wooden train cars.
Ma, I can see this coming a mile away. Tragic fire.
Yeah, like the Hagenbeck Circus.
And at 4 a.m. on June 15th, the whole train disappeared without a trace. No fire, no crash, no evidence that the train switched tracks. Dozens of cars full of people and animals simply disappeared.
What the heck?
Woo, woo what?
That was close. Aren't you curious?
Curious about what?
What happened to the train?
Well, at least they didn't burn up in a tragic fire that killed hundreds. How do you know?
He did something.
You went back.
I'm just been sitting here.
Yeah, this time. You went back already and did something to save those people. Now the tour makes no sense.
Why?
Coming up on our right, the town of Dead Clown.
Why is there a town called Dead Clown in the middle of Indiana if there wasn't a circus train fire?
I don't know. Red Skelton's father had a laundromat there, maybe. I have no clue.
You can't keep doing this. What did you do with the 26-car train load of 400 people and animals?
They're in Sarasota.
Sarasota!
You did do it. What the heck, man? Look, I couldn't let it happen.
But now things are really messed up.
Please look out your right windows and you'll see the most hidden waterfall in Indiana. It's called the Jim Dandy Plunkett Waterfall and it... ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. Please stay calm, but we're being boarded by bandits.
Oh, I love these reenactment things.
There was no reenactment scheduled.
Hands up, you people, or I start shooting.
Old-time circus clowns are robbing the train.
Get your hands up.
And talking lions.
Oh, he's majestic.
Hands up.
What the heck?
I think the poor deer's with the sideshow.
Why is the circus robbing us?
I don't know. I'll ask. Hey, circus friends, why the robbery?
Just be quiet and give up the gold, pal.
I don't have any gold.
No one has gold.
What? Is this a pauper's train?
I think they're foreigners. They have money like Rudolph the Giant when he joined.
Russians. It's Russian money.
We aren't Russians.
Let's get out of here, Flipsy.
Majestic Joe is right. Come on, guys.
Oh, listen. Get that guy's hat. I like it.
Hey, you can't have my hat. That was my grandpa's.
Show him how we can take it, Flipsy.
They shot Lou. He's dead. What's wrong with you circus people?
Hey, anyone want chips? I'm headed to the snack car. Why are you looking at me funny?
No reason.
You changed something. I can always tell because you look upset and guilty.
What did you do?
I saved Lou's life is what I did.
We'll stop it. You can't save everyone all the time throughout history. Sometimes bad stuff happens.
Well, listen, I've almost got it figured out, though.
Pretty soon, no one will have died and we'll all starve.
Then he'll just go back in time and make it so we're all super small and just eat raisins. I know how this guy thinks. He can't let go of loss.
But listen, life is just like this train. It just keeps going and... Oh, okay, we're here. Let's go.
Now, this next bit... it's funny I call them bits. I guess because I don't mean bit like gag. I mean bit like... segment, a bit of honey. I think they're bit. That's what I call my little radio show, a bit of honey, because I like to get a little bit of sugar from Hardy. And you're thinking, some of you is thinking, ooh, and others are thinking, hey, I need all the love I can get. So you don't need high quality love, or do you need, mine's, I think, good enough. It's good enough love. And when you're with me, it manifests itself in making sure that you have enough to eat and drink or something. I'll keep asking you that. Or if you're all right. And you'll say, well, how do I get along without you, Hardy, not constantly asking me if I'm all right? I just want to know if I can get you anything, you're okay. It's my eagerness to serve. Which I love to do. I just can't do it on a schedule. So, hence my lifestyle. Now, this one is one of my favorites, and it has a lot in it.
Hey, pass the jam.
Here.
Thanks. Pass the chili.
Here.
Could you pass the marmalade?
Sure.
Pass the preserves, please.
No problem.
And the confit.
Here you go.
And the chutney.
We're out of chutney.
Great. Well, what do I do with this now?
Eat it.
Without chutney, it'll taste funny.
Morning.
Morning.
You want coffee?
Oh, boy, do I.
Oh, good. We do, too. Make us some, will you?
Why didn't you? Oh, never mind. How'd you guys sleep?
On my arm.
Upright.
And you?
Fitfully. I couldn't quiet my mind.
I have that same problem. With your mind.
Very funny. I just want to get away from it all.
Yeah, your life of doing and accomplishing nothing must get unbearable.
You laugh, but I'm frustrated and ready to just chuck it all and move to an island.
Like in Papillon.
Don't you just want to get away from the world?
And go where? My home planet was destroyed by my evil brother, Ma'alefa'ak.
Ha ha ha, Martian Manhunter. Whenever you try to communicate with me telepathically, I get a burning sensation in my butt.
That's the hemorrhoids. Your Martian name is Ba'uchi.
I'm serious, guys. I've failed. I'm not changing the world. I just want to go somewhere remote and live out the remainder of my days. Listen to this.
Sounds like the newspaper.
Definitely the newspaper. Maybe fire, though.
Martian butt fire.
Cottages for sale on Getaway Island. Beautiful view of the water. Live out your days far from the madding crowd.
You better not.
Oh, man, you ought to rethink that.
Why?
Have you forgotten the reason?
No.
The reason you're here?
The reason you have a radio show?
The reason you can't go anywhere?
Believe me, I remember.
If you forget the reason,
You're no better than all the people you're trying to get to change their minds.
That's true, but I get tired.
Oh, poor thing.
I get tired lifting heavy boxes all day and having a guy with a bad wig call me stupid fat guy, but I do it.
Why?
I don't know, man. Oh, so I can live and eat and take care of my developmentally disabled brother and also give a little to his t-ball league.
Yeah, and I get tired of whatever it is I do, but I get up every day and still let it happen to me, because if I didn't, it wouldn't.
And if you don't, who will?
And if you do, who cares?
But if you don't, it means you're forsaking the reason. And that seems really wrong.
Really wrong.
Really, really wrong.
Hang on, I'll get it.
Oh, man, is that the phone I think it is?
Ooh, it's the reason.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Butchie. Great, and you? Fantastic. Yeah, I know. Yep, you know it.
I'm not here.
Same as always. Pretty silly, all right. And funny looking. Oh, okay. Well, let me think a minute. Oh, okay. What kind of bear has no brain and is constipated? Winnie the Can't Poo. You're right. Sorry.
I'm not here.
Yeah, he's right here. It's the reason.
Butchie. Hello?
Artie White?
Yes?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, of course. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to hear from you.
Really?
I mean, I'm very happy to hear from you.
Good.
I'm just surprised.
I love surprises. You should too, especially parties. Do you like surprise parties?
Sort of. So, to what do I owe this honor of speaking to you?
It's about your mission.
Yes?
Are you finished doing all that I have asked?
Not exactly.
Why not?
Well, it's proving to not be that simple.
It all seems rather simple to me. Make everyone happy.
Okay, you see, it turns out that it's very complicated, in fact. Some of it has been done.
I want everyone to have wonderful things to eat and lovely places to live. You have done that at least, right?
Not exactly.
I especially like the little creatures. What are they called again?
Children. Babies. Yes, I do too.
At least they all have marvelous food to eat and warm, cozy places to sleep.
Oh, I wish that were true.
Why isn't it? You told everyone that it was what I want, have you not?
I have. I've told many people. They don't all listen.
Well, tell everyone on Earth.
That is difficult.
It isn't. Simply tell everyone on Earth that people and creatures must have food and nice places to live and all be happy and safe.
You see, there are a lot of people, and I'm not able to reach them all. They can't all hear me.
You should speak very loudly, perhaps.
Oh, I speak loudly. But I can only talk to a few at a time, and there are literally millions and millions of people. I only reach a small number.
But they do as they are asked, don't they? When they find out, they begin to love one another and take care of each other. It's all very simple.
They don't think it is. They find reasons not to do it.
Then insist, this is your mission.
Again, I tell everyone I can, just like you told me to. I tell them to love one another and take care of each other, to feed each other, and to provide care and shelter?
Exactly, so why isn't it done?
They just find lots of excuses to ignore this or make it all so complicated.
It's not complicated.
I know.
It's very simple.
I know.
I feel I shall become very cross if they do not listen.
I understand that.
Do I need to bring you home? Have you failed, Hearty White?
No. Let me keep trying.
They told me not to send you.
Okay.
Because you're silly.
Yes.
You are very silly. Very, 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 very silly.
I'm silly. I get it.
Very, 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 very silly. But I like silly.
I'm glad.
I thought I'd send someone silly and not very clever to show how simple it is to do what I ask.
And that is a great plan.
What are you standing on to speak with people? Are you shouting from a mountain?
No. I'm using radio.
Radio?
It's hard to explain. I'm not even sure how it works. So it's like a box, and I speak into a little box, and it comes out of other boxes.
That's very silly. No one listens to boxes. Speak from a tall mountain.
I'll try.
Please hurry, though. Again, I want everyone happy and to have delicious food to eat and lovely trees and cozy houses. And everyone should be nice to even tiny creatures and no one should be afraid or sad ever.
Well, I'm doing my best.
Say something funny.
But that's hard to do on the spot like that.
Make a silly sound like a funny monkey or a fish.
Fish don't really make a sound.
Of course they do. I talk to them every day. Well, then make a monkey sound.
Really?
Do it, or I'll be very cross.
Okay.
You're very silly, Hearty White.
Thank you.
Now get to work.
I will. I will. I appreciate the second chance, and it's always lovely to speak with you.
I imagine it is. Now goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you.
You are very welcome, Hearty White. Silly Hearty White.
I am Silly Hearty White. And also, I'm maddeningly nostalgic Hearty White, too, which I'm mad at myself a lot about. I try to go back and look at things that I'm nostalgic for and develop contempt for them so that I can disabuse myself of this unwanted urge. And I was like, I want to move forward. A lot of the thing, it had to do with impressions made at a time in my life when I didn't have a lot of experience. And so they seem comforting. And so life was simpler then. You were simpler then too, simpleton. That's what I tell myself. Say, well, I want to go back to those times. Yes, of being an infant. Don't we all want to crawl back in the womb? But why don't you forge ahead into senescence instead of wanting to cuddle up with some old cartoons and some Pop-Tarts? I do that internally. I can do it internally. I don't need to watch Scooby-Doo now. I have inside, it runs in one of my rooms, a little room in my mind palace I call the screening room, and I'm in charge of the content. And so there's no questionable dated stuff that makes me wonder why I ever liked it. So that said, you know, there's going to be figures from my youth that pop up, and I grab them, I take them and make them mine. And that way I'm not disappointed by the reality of the real person. So I do bad impressions of them, and then, boop, they're mine. I don't have to worry about the venerating the human being. They just become characters in the crazy theater in my head, which I'm sharing with you for demonstration purposes. Will you be entertained by it? Perhaps not. Just like the smell of somebody else's. Remember when you're a child, you go over to somebody's house and you go, Mom's cooking, it smells good. And you're thinking, ooh, no it doesn't. That's what I used to think. I'd be like, wow, why does a pork chop smell different at my house than yours? I would always think. Because it'd be like the same food. It's just like, you know, your folks aren't making it right or something. I don't know. But my grandmother, I think it was probably, she was flavor-wise, she had took it down a notch. So maybe there was no smell or something. I just smell. At my house, the smell is just oil. Grandma, you cooking? Yep, good. I can tell because I smell oil. But nothing else, really. Oh, I miss it. There was a little conflict between my grandmother and her sister, kind of quietly competed about who was the best cook. And I could not say anything. Because sometimes I liked my aunt's, everything my aunt did was a little moister. So I'm just thinking it was their oven temperature was probably the only difference, and they never realized that. Well, now we're going to listen to something. This is, I must have had a lot of sick days when I was in school or as a child. Because I have memories of watching television sometimes with my grandfather in the middle of the day when I had no business being there. So it must have been like, oh, you know, I'm sick again. That might have been the case. I did not like school. Constant stomach ache. Afraid of everyone. I think it was a rational fear of everyone and everything and the institution and what I was learning and my own incapacity to learn it well and quickly. And all about that made school for me not particularly enjoyable. And I've had
I was like suburban feral, you know, I enjoyed that. I liked exploring, not wilderness, but other people's yards, or I don't know. But, you know, I'm free roaming, I liked that a lot. I liked being at convenience stores. I liked being a regular, like taking my time, browsing. And it was so great. Nobody would steal my bike because it was awful. And that used to be the, now people steal things that are awful, but they used to look for quality, but that's declined too. Thank you, and hello, Stars.
Hello, Peter.
I know you're going to make fun of my jacket.
No, I like your jacket.
No, that's a fine
lovely
jacket.
Lovely jacket.
Our Miss Circle this evening is Karen Morris. Welcome to Hollywood Squares, Karen.
Thank you.
A nice round of applause. Karen is a housewife, mother of two, married to a general manager of a car lot.
Yes, there's a lot in there.
Yes, well, we wish you luck this evening. Mr. X is Ken Jones. Hiya, Ken. Nice to see you. Ken Jones. Ken is a teacher and water polo coach. He's married to a teacher. They have a young daughter. And we have a commercial word or two or three, and we'll return and play a Secret Square game worth over $2,300. Welcome back. The object for our players is to get their stars in a row, either across, up, or down, or diagonally. It's up to them to figure out whether a star is giving a correct answer or making one up. That's how they get the squares. Every game completed is worth $250, and the person who wins the most cash tonight will win a brand new car in addition. In our first two games, they play for a secret square. If one of our contestants picks a secret square and is correct, they'll receive this in round one, Mr. Williams. And the circle starts the secret square, which includes this handsomely styled sofa by Crayler, one of the world's largest makers of upholstered furniture, performance-tested fabrics, deep-seated comfort by Crayler. And a certificate to Dairy Queen. Let's all go to the Dairy Queen, where the whole family can enjoy America's favorite Sundays, delicious shakes, and other frozen treats. And from Brunswick, the fabulous Dunham Home Billiard Table, one of the finest made. It's fun for the whole family by Brunswick. Plus, a line of his and her cosmetics, makeup, and skincare products from Vanda Beauty Counselors, a division of Dart Industries. And Kimball Swinger Organ, amazing new feature. The entertainer makes a beginner sound like an expert musician, play a simple one-finger melody, and selected rhythm accompanied from the New York, the Kimball Piano and Organ Company. And new Stratolange low-back living room chairs. Their full-size reclining chairs includes headrest props of other Stratolange low-back that's covered. And new Weldwood, a line of home safety adhesive for every job around the house, non-flammable, non-toxic, non-spillable. Maslin's inner circle carpeting from the subtle swirling pattern made of Kunlop nylon. Monsanto looks good and will last for years. Maslin make carpet that way. And Jolly Time popcorn. And the fluffy dunder popcorn tastes better. Let's show the secret square to the home audience and know the stars are briefed to help them with their bluffs. Karen, I believe you won the toss.
The one and only Hardy White.
True or false, Hardy? Well, that doesn't allow for shades of gray, does it? Go on. True or false? Act utilitarianism is to rule utilitarianism as the Malaysian archipelago is to blank. Oh, man, I'm so bad with math. Man, I was terrible in school. I was so bad in school, my mom got called into the office so much, they ended up building her a little guest apartment there, where she died of shame. Well, what is it, Hardy? I'm going to say true volcanic activity.
I'll agree.
He's right. Rule utilitarianism collapses into act utilitarianism in much the same way that underwater volcanoes form Pacific Island chains. Very good. Circle gets a square. Ken? I'll go with Lou Register.
Hey, Ken.
Lou Register of Squad 42, do the catchphrase for us.
What?
Oh, I love it.
Hardy?
I don't know, man. Lou, according to the Bible, a humble dinner with love is better than what?
What?
A humble dinner with love is better than what?
Man, I don't know. Well, it's the Bible, so it's got to be something bad. Let me think of some Bible curses. Hemorrhoids?
I agree. No, I'm sorry. The answer is a feast with hatred. Better is a humble dinner with love than a feast with hatred.
Oh, I know that verse. It's better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall-fed ox and hatred therewith. What translation are you using? Some game show translation?
No one gets a square. Karen.
I'll go with Hans Conried.
Hans. Hello. W.C. Fields used to say, on the whole, I'd rather be in...
Who writes these questions? I know the answer, but my script says I'm supposed to say plastics as a joke.
I agree.
No, I'm sorry, it's Philadelphia.
On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Excuse me?
Don Bourgeoisie.
Question. Why do we have to give the wrong answer, joke answers?
Yeah, it makes us look stupid. Also, something's dripping on my head from Vincent Price's square.
Nonsense.
That better just be water, or I'm going to circle your square, Vincent.
Oh, you're frightening me.
Hardy!
Calm down, Lou. As we stated, the celebrities have been briefed to help with their bluffs. But now it's Ken's turn. Butchie for the block. Butchie Spinoza!
Hey, Peter.
Butchie, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
What the heck kind of question is that?
There's an old lollipop commercial, Butchie.
I don't watch TV. How am I supposed to answer that? Ask a question about Shakespeare or something.
All right. How many witches in Macbeth?
Let's see. One, a two, three.
I agree. That's right. It takes three licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
Hardy, what just happened?
So there you go. Familiar Hollywood squares. And there you go. And they never have to revisit it again. We never have to go back to that or Match Game. The next thing we're going to listen to is one of those shows where I said, this is me when we first started out. I think I just did that last week again. Hardy, are you running out of ideas? You never run out of ideas if your ideas, to begin with, are not well fleshed out. Then you can just, yes, you can keep adding things to them. And you just trick out real basic things. That's what I like to do. So this may seem like a thing you've heard before, but listen carefully, it's not. And any kind of thing that goes on for a while is like that. Variations on a theme. But just changing a thing slightly can be interesting. You know, they had the movie Clue when it came out, had a variety of endings depending on where you saw it. And what does that tell you? It tells you that the first part of the movie, everything but the last 5 minutes, were wasting your time, pointless. If you can change the ending like that, I try to change things throughout. So it might be, I'd rather see Clue 9 than just have the ending changed. So here's me. So a lot of things I've done more than once. This now is a reminiscence about a morning radio that I used to listen to as a kid, and where the DJs pretend to interview a famous person. Hello, Mr. Nixon. What are you say today? And then they play a song. You know, you ain't seen nothing yet. And they play a little snip of that for the lyric. I used to listen to that a lot as a kid. Sometimes I couldn't hear the lyric. So I remember missing the point of the gag altogether. And here I am taking it to its absurd conclusion.
This is the news. Today we have a special interview with the presidential candidates of the United States election. Are here today. I'm going to interview them and ask them questions. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And then we'll ask them different questions, and they're going to give us their response today. Thank you, candidates, for being here today. Donald Trump, I'm going to give you the first question. You say you want to be elected president. Why is that?
No, I can't forget this evening.
Hillary Clinton, same question to you. You also say that you want to be president. Why is that? Donald Trump, some people say that if you were elected, you would do a bad job. How do you respond to that?
Farmers and river cousins, dust and green.
And Hillary Clinton, your response. Well, let's hear from some of the other candidates, like Gary Johnson. What is your platform? And Jill Stein, you are also running for president. What is your position? Mr. Nixon, they said you did Watergate. What do you say to that? What about you, Johnson? Thanks for joining our candidate interview debate. Just like Walter Cronkite used to say.
Okay,
So here's my list of reasons why I think that skit didn't work.
I need to hear them. Thanks, man. What are they?
First, you probably shouldn't have improvised.
I agree. I totally agree. I was stuttering. I didn't know what I was going to say.
Also, the music clips didn't seem to be picked with any real intent. Why did you pick those clips, Butch?
I don't know. I liked them. They sounded right.
See, usually with this type of gag, the music clip vocal provides a relevant answer to the interviewer's question. So you might ask, hey, what did you fall in love with? And the clip says, I fell in love with a video nasty.
Oh. Oh,
that makes sense.
That's how it works. I wasn't sure why it was funny. I thought you just asked a question and played a random snippet of music.
No, the lyrics in the snippet complete the interviewee's side of the conversation.
Oh, man, I can totally see that now.
So we were doing it wrong. And I guess the clips without words...
Yeah, they really didn't make any sense.
I knew it wasn't working. Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, man, thanks, Lou.
So what other morning show thing can we do?
Well, we can just sit around and tell stories like it's a cloakroom.
Yeah, like we're just three fellas sitting around the cloakroom. Cloakroom talk.
Why would that be interesting?
I don't know.
People like it. I like man in the street stuff. Let's make a guy stand in the street and see what happens. Right in the middle of the street. I bet most people go around.
We could swap shop, where people phone in stuff for sale and we hook them up with the buyer.
That always ends up being roosters. People dumping roosters for $5 each.
Or treadmills.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's do elaborate radio theater, like maybe a soap opera, but also funny and clever and thoughtful too, you know, like Duffy's Tavern.
I hear you. Go on.
I'm done.
Well, that's a lot of work, though.
I've already written 150 scripts.
Butchie, really? That's amazing. What's the story?
Well, a lot of it is Get Smart fan fiction.
Well, we can't do that.
I have a lot of Foley experience.
Really?
Yep. I come up with some of my own original ones, too. You know what's a great sound effect?
What?
Slapping a steak. You buy a steak or a roast from the butcher, and you slap it.
What's that supposed to sound like?
Like...
I mean, it's a sound effect for what?
Well, slapping a steak or something. You might be like, hey, the great Gildersleeve, that's a heck of a shiner. Slap this steak on that peeper, and you'll be right as rain in a jiffy.
Oh, okay.
I think we're overthinking this thing. A morning radio show is no different from a nighttime one. I listen to Bob Knapp's Sleepy Time Shut-Eye Hour every morning at 1 a.m.
You get up at 1 a.m.?
I get up at lots of times all throughout the day. I microsleep.
Microsleep? What's that? What's that, Butchie? Butchie?
I'll be right back. I need coffee.
We could record ourselves going places in the time machine.
No, that's kind of tired. Everybody does that.
But we have a twist.
What's that?
It's an actual time machine.
Well, we know that, but there's no way to convey that.
Also that thing where you create paradoxes and all.
Yeah, we've already screwed things up so badly, people are like, I feel like I'm living in some sort of crazy dream world. This can't be happening.
But we had fun, right?
Morning, fellas. What did I miss?
How do you like to wake up, Butchie? Gently or abruptly?
Well, I'm never actually fully awake, to be honest with you, so I don't know.
I fell asleep on the toilet.
That's believable.
And all of this is the dream I'm having.
That could be. I feel like I'm in the dream of some guy who's passed out on the toilet.
We all feel like that.
Except for me. That's how I know it's me dreaming. Anywho, dream buddies, what about reading the news?
Well, the funnies.
Yeah, we could read the funnies. People like that with their morning coffee.
Do they still have funnies in the paper? I don't get the paper.
I only get vintage papers. I'm digging 50s Dick Tracy, though.
I like McGugan's Alley Cats. That's a good one.
I've never heard of that.
My granddad did it.
Oh, I didn't know he was a cartoonist.
Yep. For the Dewjammer Syndicate in Pepper County, Florida, for the Pepper Tribune. You know, I have the rights to all those old strips. We could do radio versions of them.
Radio versions of McGugan's Alley Cats? Oh my gosh, brilliant.
Well, I don't even know what they're about.
Well, bunch of stuff. There's McGugan.
He's the main guy, McGugan.
And then, his Alley Cats.
They are not literal cats.
They're an elite bunch of ordinary people who tackle nothing special day after day, but each time, it's different.
It's like Mission Impossible, but the mission is mind-numbingly possible.
Tell me more about McGugan.
What's to tell?
McGugan is McGugan.
You can say that again.
I will, but you say something else first.
He's unpredictable.
McGugan is McGugan.
You're not telling me anything.
That's also called pulling a McGugan.
Stop it. You both are full of baloney.
Anyway, my grandpa really did have a comic strip about a bar and the people who came and went and fantasized that they were on different types of missions.
They think they're an elite task force, but they're just ordinary lonely people who need each other. Their daily problems seem like matters of international importance to them.
Well, this sounds pretty good.
And it has crazy characters, like Lou the Stevedore.
No, wait.
And Butchie, the whatever it is I do.
Wait, so you two are characters?
It's based on us. Grandpa worked us into the strip.
Okay.
Because we time traveled to 1919.
Lou, you realize you made all this happen.
Who's to say?
I see now I haven't heard of this comic strip. Also, there's no Pepper County, Florida.
There is now.
Lou?
People will never know it wasn't always there.
That's not the point. You have to go get rid of this crazy thing you created. Well, what started it? You made up a county or something? How on earth?
Oh, it's worse than that.
How far back did you go, and how badly did you mess with time just to get a granddad who was a comic strip artist?
Well, I went twice to the 18th century, twice to the 19th, one trip to 550 A.D., and one to 1919, but for a whole year. And I think most of the damage started with me becoming governor of Florida in the 1880s.
Oh, Lord. Well, let's undo that first.
We need to go back even further than that and let some folks' ancestors die young before we do that.
Hey, get this ad in the paper. This looks perfect for us. Wanted. Three fellas to install new electricity wires in the home of a socialite. Socialite is planning fancy television watching party tonight and needs the electricity wires installed before then. We could totally do this.
Butchie, we're not looking for jobs.
Wait, Butchie has a point. If we get jobs as electricians, maybe that'll be just crazy enough to set this whole timeline back to normal.
Well, that's so difficult to argue against, it just might work. But I'd like to finish up planning our morning show.
Yeah, give us another shot at the music presidential interview bit.
Okay.
2 hours later.
Okay, listen to this.
This is the news. Tonight, we interview the two major U.S. presidential candidates, Donald Trump from New York and Hillary Clinton from New York. We're going to ask them questions now. Donald Trump, why do you want to become president?
Because I think I'd be good at the job.
Hillary Clinton, same question to you. Why do you want to become president?
I think I am very qualified to do it.
All right, Donald Trump, let me ask you a question. Why don't you think that Hillary Clinton should be president?
She won't be very good at the job.
And the question to you, Hillary Clinton, why wouldn't Donald Trump be good at president?
Because he's not qualified enough, in my opinion.
All right, let's talk to some of the other candidates. Gary Johnson, why are you running for president?
I'm the libertarian candidate.
And Jill Stein, what's your platform?
I am a Green Party candidate. If you want to vote for me, do that.
All right, here are some observations just off the top of my head. It sounds like all the songs were Butchie.
Yep, all original music. We kicked up our game a notch. We couldn't find the exact answers we wanted in any existing lyrics, so I wrote original songs.
Yeah, I think he did a remarkable job. The answers and the questions line up perfectly, like you said.
Now, hang on now. They're supposed to be familiar hit songs everybody knows.
What?
Yeah, so people recognize the song.
But I wrote all original music.
I know, Butchie, it's great.
No, it's very good, Butch, but that's not the point of the skit.
I feel like we had all the elements there this time. We wrote it, and then we went the extra mile and wrote the answers. This is subtle stuff, man. I don't get it. Maybe we shouldn't do this bit. It's sort of tired anyway.
Speaking of tired, We have a job interview at that socialite's house if we're going to get a job as electricians and correct Lou's interference in time in order to have a relative who's a cartoonist.
Sorry. Ugh.
All right, let me get a newsboy cap and some tools, and I'll be right with you.
So there you have it. Now, on the there, I made some music there, and I like to do that on the show. Sometimes I will make, if I'm going to have, sometimes I'll use old KPM music library music record that I have. So it's 70s stuff. Like that, and you've probably heard that. And sometimes I'll say, no, I'm going to do it this week because mania. And then I'll knock out some songs that I only used 15 seconds of. But so here's, I found some, and I don't remember them. I don't remember using them. And one, I don't even know if it's me. So this one was just labeled Hardy Burr, which I think is a reference to the Bill Cosby Hickey Burr, which was a theme for his show, which feels like iconic sort of 70s. And so I made this, and I don't know if I used it.
I got your Robert business all messed up in your...
What?
This next song I also have no recollection of, and maybe I made it for like an 80s, 90s sitcom kind of thing, but not a sitcom, but maybe like just a cop show or something. I really don't know. And this is one I don't think it's me, but it might be. I think it is me, now that I hear the dismal fiddle playing. Now, the last thing I'm going to play, I have played many times before. Many, many, many times. The most played thing I've done. And I'm sorry. But I think it's... I'm so proud of it. And you should never be... Should you ever be proud? Is pride a good thing? Doesn't it go before a fall? And the actual expression is pride
in a money's breast goes before a fall and something. Is the root of all, you know, something. Get your expressions right. It's hard enough to communicate. But if we have different expressions, different idioms, how do we even do that? You know? I mean, idioms are crazy. It's like, you know, finger throbbing. So here is a Blue Beauty.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Ma, Grandpa, Blue Beauty is gone.
Whatever do you mean?
She got spooked by the thunder and ran off.
Oh, dear.
What's all this hollering?
Blue Beauty has run off.
What? But I locked her in the stable myself.
I went to check on her, Grandpa, and I left the barn door open.
I told you 100 times. Well, never mind that now. Blue Beauty is in danger.
I'm sorry.
Sorry won't bring her back.
Will she be all right, Dad?
Well, this is one bad storm. But she's a smart horse, but spooked.
I have to go after her.
Not in this storm, you don't.
But Blue Beauty!
Blue Beauty can take care of herself now. We'll look for her when the storm clears.
Poor Blue Beauty.
Blue Beauty didn't do anything wrong. I was the knucklehead who left the door open.
Well, maybe next time when I tell you to let Blue Beauty out, you'll let Blue Beauty be.
Blue Beauty is the most beautiful horse in the world.
She is. And something tells me she'll be just fine.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
What's this? A horse? Well, it's my lucky day. Come here, nag. I treat all horses roughly. You're mine now, you hear me? And I'm naming you a name. I'll call you Blue Brute, because you look pretty tough to me.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Well, Thomas, I don't usually see you in town. Special occasion?
We lost Blue Beauty last night. Nothing special about that.
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry. What happened?
The storm. The thunder spooked her and, well, Billy left the barn door open.
I thought you kept Blue Beauty in the stables.
We do, but Beauty must have seen the barn door open and it gave her an idea. She's clever. So she opened her door and when the lightning hit, well, she spooked and ran.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for her. You know, a lot of people come in and out of my store.
Well, I appreciate that, Narendranath.
Good luck.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Pull! Pull, you Dobbin.
That horse is no good.
It's good. It's just stubborn. But I'll break her spirit. Then she'll be a fine, beaten horse.
I think we ought to sell her for glue.
Get in the house, woman. I'm beating the horse.
Suit yourself.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
What are you doing, Bill?
I'm putting up posters so people can help find Blue Beauty.
What happened to Blue Beauty?
She ran off. Lightning spooked her.
Oh, that's too bad. That's probably why Brock the horse beater has her.
What? You've seen Blue Beauty?
Yeah, last night. I saw Brock trying to drag her through the rain to his ranch.
Well, we have to get there right away.
Whoa, Nellie acting so uncouth, top down, shirt off in the coop. You can't go there alone. Brock will kill you.
I have to save Blue Beauty.
Well, let's get an adult.
There's no time.
Now, see, I don't get that. Your grandfather's within shouting distance.
We can't waste time shouting. Shouting won't bring back Blue Beauty. Are you with me?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going alone. Good luck.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
I see her. It's Beauty. And Brock is treating her horribly. That bit in her mouth looks so painful. What kind of monster would treat a creature that way? I have to find some way of getting in that stable when he's not looking. I must save Blue Beauty.
Save Blue Beauty? Maybe you should try to save yourself.
No, don't!
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
I'm worried about Billy. He's been gone for hours, and it's not like him to miss dinner.
He's so intent on finding Blue Beauty that he's lost track of time.
But what if Blue Beauty can't be found?
I have a feeling that boy'll never give up.
Mrs. Chappie.
Marlin?
Hello, Mrs. Chappie. Pappy Chappie.
Marlin?
I think I ought to tell you that Billy has gone to Brock the Horsebeater's ranch to save Blue Beauty.
What? By himself?
Yeah, I told him not to, but he's so stubborn, like you and Blue Beauty.
I'll address that later. But now we have to get to that ranch.
I hope he's all right.
Get my raincoat. I'm going to go have a talk with that Brock.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Brock Weekly?
What do you want, Thomas Chappie?
I want my horse and my grandson.
I don't have either.
I hear tell you do.
Well, where did you hear that?
Let's just leave Marlin out of this.
Marlin.
Where is my horse, and also my grandson?
I have no idea. And now I ask you kindly to get off my land before I enforce my inalienable rights.
This is not the end of it, Brock.
Good luck to you, my friend.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Marlin?
Yes, dear?
Do you remember all those years ago when that Chappie boy disappeared?
Oh, of course. They think Brock Weekly did it, but nobody can really prove it. They say he stole Blue Beauty, too.
Well, it says here Brock Weekly just died.
Wow. Well, I guess that closes that whole horrible chapter.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Hey, where are we, Billy?
I don't know, Blue Beauty. When Brock threw me in the stall with you, it must have triggered some kind of rift in the space-time continuum. And now we're somewhere altogether different. Maybe a different time, or place, or even a universe.
We'll all be.
I know, right? Oh, Blue, I love you.
And I love you, Billy.
Blue Beauty, through the wind and the rain.
Oh, I think it's, well, you know, it's my love of story records that leads me to do things like that. And so forgive me for indulging that, but that they did, my imagination ran wild. But as you can see from replicating it, my attention span did not run wild. My attention span gets winded long before my imagination. They're like friends, and one of them's like, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to sit down. You go romp in the field without me.
I will.
And imagination keeps going, and attention span's like, I just got to take a little nap, and I'll be right as rain again, and I can romp with you for a while. And then, I'm so glad that you're able to listen to this whole show. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. I know that's, if I was not speaking, I don't know if I could listen to me. And that's, I know that's hard to, that's, well, but I don't listen to the show. I can't. First of all, it's very self-conscious. Second, I don't, really not why I'm doing it. I don't want to tweak it or hone it or evaluate it. I don't want to give myself notes. How can I do it better next time? I just don't, that's not important. They're chalk drawings. Going back and getting these old clips is strange for me. It does feel like old photographs, which you always have mixed feelings about. You know, it's nice to have the memory, but the memory is somehow also nicer than the photo. I know that I've been very, very discouraged by listening to maybe like a video or something of a live performance. And because myself and the audience often remember it for being better than it was. And that's because there's a feeling, there's something sometimes, there's a feeling connected with a thing that can't be recreated by making some sort of copy of it or picture of it. And I feel that about interactions with people too. And this whole show. It's my anytime I've gotten to actually interact with you, that's always better than anything. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me. This is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Watt, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9, in Rockland County in New York City, New York and online, WFMU. Slow down. WFMU.org, worldwide. So thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week.
agenda agenda bambale. Agenda agenda bambale. Bambale. Oh, lidae, lidae.
Rest your way.